I'm looking forward to this chance to jump in, and still trying to sort of catch up. Got in late last night on the plane from Detroit. Had interesting people who I sat next to on the plane. You know, there's always that one guy, and I'm not one of those people who sort of bends your ear on the plane. I'm really not. But First Lady was a professor of cultural studies at Duke, and I got to Middle Eastern cultural studies, got to ask her some fascinating studies about Islam. And she was traveling to Philadelphia to do a presentation on the treatment of women by ISIL. Great conversation. The next guy sat with his headphones on, which is always the message of, I'm in my little space and I don't want anyone to come near. And then the next person I sat next to was a Jewish kid just starting college. And we had a great conversation. We really hit it off. And then the last guy I sat next to coming out of Philadelphia was a guy who is a teaching fellow at Duke. He's from the South Korean Department of Defense. And again, fascinating conversation all the way through. And found out that the man from Korea is a believer in Jesus. And, you know, with the Jewish guy, again, it was a conversation about faith. You know that's going to happen, you know. asked him, what do you do with sin when there's no temple? What do you do with atonement? And, you know, we really, again, just enjoyed our conversations. I hope the feeling was mutual. But I tell you this because I want to talk about sharing our faith this morning. And before we do, let's just pray. Lord, would you give us grace? You already have. Would you give us more to share? In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start with something. You finish. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but... Let's say it again. Sticks and stones, let's say it together, can break my bones, but words will never harm me. Chances are, we all said that as kids, right? I mean, we all know it. Boys would say it right after they left the He-Man Women Haters Club, and the women would say it right after the Boys Have Cooties Club let out. And, you know, the truth is, words have power. Or we wouldn't be saying things like, sticks and stones can break my bones. I never forgot the words of my high school biology teacher who said, Banks, when you got in here, I thought you were going to be the best one of your brothers. But you ain't nothing. Now, to be fair, he took it back years later. After he had seen some things happen, he said, I guess I was wrong about you, Banks. But how different that was from Sam Sharp, who was the owner of the hardware store in the town where I grew up as an adolescent. Let's see, where did I put my changer here? There it is. And he said, you're going to do something. You're going to do something. I mean, he was one of those people who, when he looked at you, you could tell he just believed in you. He liked you. That's the way Sam was. And you got that even without him saying a word. Now, James, the brother of Jesus, talked about words as well, and he said this, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. You ever do that? It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. You ever say those words? And Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. The truth he's pointing at is that we were made for more. We were made for something very special. And one verse in the Gospel of John takes us there. Here it is. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. And Mary Magdalene had had a rough life. She might not be what you might consider the most credible witness. And you need to know that in a Roman court of law, a woman was not considered a viable witness. But in the New Testament, she is. Isn't that interesting? The first witnesses to the resurrection are women. Note that. Why are they doing that? Because that's how it happened. They're not making stuff up. This is the way the events unfolded. And Luke tells us that Mary, this witness who had had a rough life, Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her. And in so doing, he had transformed her life. Now, what kind of a witness is that? That's a really good one, right? John says that Mary found the disciples. That's interesting. Mary found the disciples. She found them because they were hiding. They were worried that the same thing that had happened to Jesus would happen to them. Hey, if I were in their situation, I would be doing the same thing. Keep in mind, Jesus had not risen yet. Interestingly, I asked the young Jewish guy that I sat next to on the plane yesterday, "Well, what do you think about the resurrection of Jesus? What happened there?" And he didn't answer the question specifically about the resurrection, but he said, "Well, Jesus was a rabbi, and Jesus was teaching certain things in his synagogue. And this is what I was told," he said. "And the Romans said, 'Don't do that.' And Jesus kept doing it. And the Romans burned a synagogue and crucified him." Interesting take on things, isn't it? But whatever, the truth here that is very clearly portrayed is that Jesus had been killed. And that the disciples are hiding. And what Mary tells them changes everything. So much so that, as we pointed out last week, all of them would die martyrs' deaths. Because essentially that's what John also died on the Isle of Patmos. That's a martyr's death. He couldn't be with friends and family. He was exiled. All of them would die martyrs' deaths, insisting it was true. Now, that's a beautiful transformation, isn't it? Because what it shows is that death did not scare them the way that it used to. Why? Because they had seen someone come out on the other side of it, someone who they loved so much, who had transformed their own lives, and they said, if he can do that, and he has promised to do that for us, what have we to fear? So you got to love those words. I've seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message, neatly contained in one verse, a few words that change everything. I've seen the Lord. What a beautiful thing for Mary to do. She couldn't help doing it. What Jesus had done for her was amazing in itself, but you've got to remember, Mary was there. She was right there when Jesus died. That's why we have the picture we do on the front of the bulletin. It's of Mary Magdalene at the feet of Jesus at the cross. She saw the life go out of him. She saw him breathe his last breath. She had seen people hung on crosses all around Jerusalem. It was the practice of the day, and she knew what it looked like when someone was dead. And Jesus looked like that. There was no doubt. But now she had seen him alive. And there was no stopping her. And even though it took some time, and Jesus appearing to them for her message to sink in, just look at the impact that her words have. Take a look at the first thing the disciples tell Thomas a few verses later. You're going to love this. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, what? Read it. We have seen the Lord. Huh. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? We have seen the Lord. Where have you seen that before? Just go back. It's like ripples on a pond. The message spreads because it's true, and the breath of the Spirit is in it and through it, and there would be no stopping it. This past week, I had the chance to see the power of that message at work again. My son and I got to speak at the Our Daily Bread One Day Bible Conference in Detroit, and we shared the difference Jesus had made in his life. And it was kind of fun because we sat there, was an interview format, and they had given us a number of questions, and there's, you know, one for Jeff and one for Dad and one for Jeff. And as soon as they start the interview, Jeff just starts going. And what he's saying is so good, I don't want to stop him, you know? And basically, eventually, I sort of, you know, get in there. But the point was, he had seen the Lord. And he got to tell others about it. One man there, I was signing books afterwards, and a man told me, I got your book 4 years ago. And he said, I have 4 kids, and I've been praying for all of them. And I want to tell you, I have seen 3 of them return to the Lord. And then he said, I'm not satisfied with 75%. So we stood right there and prayed for his daughter. And isn't it the greatest thing when you see God do something? There's no other explanation for it. You just got to point at it. And you've just got to say what Mary said. What the disciples said, I've seen the Lord. No, we haven't seen him in the flesh yet as Mary did, but in one sense we have. As Job said, in my own flesh I will see him. We haven't seen him in the flesh, but in our flesh we have seen him move. Think about what Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. You will see me. You will see me. See that? You will see me. You will live. You will see me. You will live. if you've seen him in the things he's done in our lives, in the answers to prayer that we've seen again and again, in the peace he's given us in difficult times, when the world would say, I don't know how you are getting through this, but you know. You know, because his presence has shown itself to your soul on a dark night and given light to your feet and held you up somehow and got you through. If you have seen him, you can't keep it in. I love what one of our new members said just not long ago. You know, that same, well, we had baptized her, and the next day, she had lost her baby, and she went through a dark time, a very dark time. But then she said, somehow in the middle of that, I don't know how to explain it, but he picked me up and got me through, and he was with me. And I've never experienced anything like that before. That's another way of saying, I've seen the Lord. That's what he does. And won't we see him more if we take the time to look for him? Didn't he say, seek and you will find? Isn't this the message of his word, that God is so good, so kind, so loving, that he will reach into our lives and get dirt under his fingernails to pick us up? Isn't that the meaning of the cross and the empty tomb? That's what he's done for us. And if we seek him, we will find. This is who he is. This is the nature of the great I am. That is why Isaiah would write, since ancient times, no ear has heard, no eye has perceived, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. When you see him, you never forget it. And that's important to remember. I know it sounds funny to put it that way, but to call to mind when you're going through a dark time, isn't it? To look back and to say, God got me through worse than this, and he will be with me in this moment now. And then when you see him in this moment now, when you see him in that situation that you thought, man, how could any good come of this? And then you realize, he's with me. You got to tell someone. You got to tell someone, because you can't help it. Because there's nothing better. There's nothing better than answers to prayer. Because in them you see the very presence of God at work. But let me rephrase that. There is one thing better than an answer to prayer, and that is the presence of God himself. Because that is the best answer to prayer. And beyond whether it's yes or whether it's no, in the moment for us, to simply know that he is near, well, that's more than enough. You may remember that on a trip to Grand Rapids a few months ago, I met a woman and her son on the plane on the way back. I shared that with you, I think, that next day. And right there on the jet bridge, as we were waiting for our luggage between flights, and do you remember that? We prayed. And I got a note from her this week, and I wanted to share it with you. She said, "You may not remember me, but I will never forget you. My son and I were on a return flight from North Carolina from taking my daughter to Teen Challenge in Michigan for her heroin addiction. I was so worried and heartbroken, but you prayed over us. It was exactly what this mom needed. Thank you. Jessica has been in the program for 6 months and is doing great. She has given her life over to Christ and is determined to stay and finish the final months. God is faithful." Because of what Jesus had done in our lives, I got to say, we've seen the Lord. And because of what Jesus has done in her life, she got to come back and say, "I've seen the Lord." And I wonder, where is that for you? Because he is risen, and he is real. And Scripture says, if you long to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Where have you seen his Spirit at work in your life, in your heart? If it's been a while, isn't it time to seek, to sit in his presence and just tell him honestly, "Lord, it's been a while." But if you have seen it, oh, you need to share it, right? Because this world is filled with hurting people. And this church is filled with people who need encouragement. We all do. And oh, it is good to hear it, right? It helps get us through when we know that someone we love has gone through it and they've seen the Lord, and we know, okay, he hasn't shown up at my doorstep yet. He's on the way. I'll wait. Because he was just down the street. You know, it doesn't matter how many times we've messed up, how many Magdalene moments we've had in our past where darkness has fallen and we don't know what has possessed us. Because the light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Jesus is risen. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And you and I can say it, can't we? We have seen the Lord. Oh, the difference those words can make. May we pray. Have you seen him? Go and tell someone. Do like Mary did. Has it been a while? Tell him that. And come and seek him and sit at his feet tonight at the prayer meeting. But don't wait until then. Even now. Lord, we praise you for the truth that the tomb is empty and no one can change a heart and no one can change a life like you can. We've seen it. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Thank you for getting your hands dirty. Thank you for coming to pull us out of the mud. And no matter how deep you may have sunk, if you feel like you're still there this morning, if you've never said to him, Lord, save me, just say it now and he will. Scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's why he went to the cross, and it is why the tomb is empty. He longs to give us life. Life beyond boundaries that shines forth from us, even us, into a dark world. So would you tell him, yes, Lord, yes, I receive you. I believe you died for me. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from them. And I ask your help. Fill me with your spirit, with yourself, with your love. And help me to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen.